Counter Attack Podcast with myself, Daps. Guys, get liking, subscribing, sharing, all of that good stuff, all of that good stuff. I'm recording this after Manchester United. Listen, we're going to get straight into it. How bad are United? United are ridiculously bad. And look, we've seen them all season be bad. We've seen them all season throw away leads and, you know, get in front and then throw it away. We've seen that all season from them. But against Coventry, you're thinking, look, this is just going to be one of those games where foregone conclusion, you know, they're going to come, Coventry are going to try, but the quality is just going to shine through, which is what happened when United, you know, got 3-0 up. And even before that, let me just say, yeah, United were doing this thing in the first half where they were slowing the play down. Like, they were just playing with no urgency, no nothing. And you expected more of a threat from United. You expected more opportunity, more chances, but none of that happened. So even when they got their first goal, when McTominay scored, and then who scored their second goal? I forgot it now, whoever scored their second goal. Let me double. Oh, Maguire. And then when Maguire scored the header just before half time, you're just thinking, okay, you know, Coventry have done well to get this far, but this is where it stops for them. Second half comes, they make it 3-0. Bruno Fernandes. And then you're like, the game is done. But then there's still something in the back of your mind that's like, United like to give away goals. They like to make games exciting for no reason. So when Ellis Sims? I know it's Sims. Let me see what his actual name is, because he's actually a very good player. When Sims, his name is, sorry guys, I should have really. Oh, it is Ellis Sims, yeah, shame. So when Ellis Sims got that goal and you're like 3-1, you're like, But then you're like, it's consolation, it's not going to be anything. But in the back of your mind, you're like, If this was in the Premier League, you know United could give this away. They get that second deflected goal. And you know what? From there, it was all Coventry. United were just all over the place. And when I say all over the place, I mean they weren't able to keep possession. Even when they did have chances to counterattack, they'd make stupid decisions and everything. And, you know, there was always going to be a chance that Coventry, once they got it back to 3-2, it almost didn't even feel real. That game didn't even feel real because United should never have been in that position. And it's actually quite embarrassing that they were. But then anyway, the last minute penalty, you're like, wow, really? You know, was it a handball? By the letter of the law in today's football, it's a handball. Do you know what I'm saying? And I just, the rules aren't going to change anytime soon in regards to that, I don't think. But it was a handball. And Haji Wright, coolest man in the stadium, slots it away to make it 3-3. Right, now, at that point, I was looking and I was just like, United have done it again. They've actually done it again. And even if Coventry don't go through, this is what I was thinking at this moment. United have just kept up with what they've been doing all season, where they're letting teams back in. They're not putting games to bed. There's no structure to them. There's absolutely nothing. They're a nothing team. And they get by on pure luck. They get by on pure... Because I'm not even going to say that. Like, with certain teams, they've got... And we've been saying it for certain... I mean, we've been saying it for so long when it comes to United. Certain teams just have a way that they play. You know what I mean? They have a system. United have none of that and rely on individual talent, individual brilliance, which is what it was when Ole was there as well. Nothing has changed since Ole. They've actually gone backwards, if I'm being honest. Do you know what I'm saying? So for them, for Coventry to come and go toe-to-toe with them and end up being the better team over, you know, in that second half especially, end up being a team on the ascendancy, end up being a team that's putting all the pressure on, is so embarrassing for United. And even though United have won this game, this is an incredible low for them. It's an incredible low for them. You know, to be able to get through on penalties and also, you know, get through after, you know, they got through the skin of their teeth. They got through by the skin of their teeth, like after that offside decision went against Coventry. I thought that was it for them. And, United are just so bad. They are just so bad. You know, and I go through their team and you're looking at certain players and, you know, and I'm not one to say managers have to go, but it all starts with Ten Hag. It all, like, you've had enough time in that role, almost 2 years now, you've had enough time in that role to have your way, like to have your imprint on that team. Ten Hag has been there almost 2 years. Look at that. And his imprint is still not on the team. But maybe this is his imprint. Maybe his imprint is that there's just no order. He's just not that great. Maybe, you know, we're trying to find so many excuses. We're trying to find so many reasons for him to be behaving like this or be putting out teams like this. But maybe this is just him. You know, he had his time at Ajax and now we're like, yo, what's going on? Because, you know, when you see them play, it's literally like, go out there and just do what you want. You know, you're looking at the team selection. You're looking at Wan-Bissaka left back. Why does he keep doing that? Wan-Bissaka left back and Diogo Jallo right back. Why don't you put people in their normal positions? Like, what is it that you're seeing in training that is making you feel like, yes, let me put them on opposite sides and I'm going to do something? Like, why does he do that? I just don't get it. Why does he continue to take players off who are actually their biggest threats? Garnacho's come off in 65 minutes for Antony. Why did he do that? Why? It's not even like it was 75 minutes. Like, why 65 minutes for Antony? Like, why? And Antony came on and, listen, if you want to talk about a guy that has contributed nothing to a game, that's your guy right there. Antony came on and it wasn't until midway through extra time that I realised this guy was on the pitch. Because he literally did nothing. He contributed nothing to the game. He was hiding and seeking nothing but failure. Hiding, like, that there was just a horror show from him. You come on against Coventry, which is your level, by the way. Coventry is his level. You come on against Coventry and you're not doing anything. You're not contributing. You're not making any sort of impact. I saw Amad Diallo come on and Amad Diallo was like trying to make things happen. He was actually influencing him and impacting the game. It wasn't enough, but you could see he was on the pitch. Antony did nothing. But then he has the audacity to run celebrating, cupping his ears in front of the Coventry fans when they won their penalty shootout. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You know, and no matter what happens, Ten Hag has to go for me. He has to because, you know, they've given him enough reasons. They've given him enough excuses. If he stays, they're going to back him. And they're probably going to back him heavily this summer. But again, nothing will change because he is the problem. And again, I'm not one to normally call out managers like this, but Ten Hag is absolutely the problem. There's no reason why your team should be playing like this. You're Manchester United. And even me, as someone that hates Man United and loves seeing them, you know, fail like this, it's got to the point where it's just like, this is just ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. You hear him in press conferences talking, saying that they always play well and he's always got a reason. Listen, that guy just, if United have anything about them, they will get rid of him. Don't get rid of him because everything starts with him. There's certain times when players are the ones that need to take the blame for certain things, but it's not even the players. It's him. So I don't know what they're doing in training, but also credit to Coventry, man. Like, Coventry came and, you know, they looked like that was their level. Well, it was their level, but United are also horribly. So I don't know if it's a thing where Coventry rose to a different level or if United were just that bad that Coventry were playing on their level. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, they did what they had to do. They didn't give up. They got a big FA Cup payday. Semi-final, big stage. They made a story of their own. You know, they almost done it. Had it not been for like a yard offside. Not even a yard. We're talking centimeters probably offside, and it would have given them their dream cup final, Coventry against Man City. But you know, and it was so tight and so unlucky from them. But credit to them, man. Credit to their fans. They didn't stop all game, and Yeah. And Ellis Sims, I do want to talk about him as well. When you saw him at Everton coming through, you were thinking, okay, there must be something about him because Everton are giving him his time. They're giving him a debut. They're letting him play. That's fine. Cool. But I didn't think that he would go on to do what he's doing now in that league, because he's notched like 17 goals this season, if I'm not mistaken. And his finish is it came off his shin, but that's the sort of striker you need, just in the box, the sharp boom, almost sent him through in extra time when it's come off the bar as well. That's a striker where he's just in the box sniffing out. And I've seen enough of him to know that he's got a future in the Premier League. But, you know, it all remains to be seen. But that's what I'm going to say on United, man. Like, it's embarrassing. Antony, I'm never going to get on board with that guy. Kobbie Mainoo, why did he come off? If he's injured, fair enough. But if he's not injured, if he was a bit tired, then fair enough. But why has he come off? Eriksen came on. Didn't do anything. United are bad. I'm so tired of talking about this team because they're so bad. And what kills it about United is that when Arsenal lose, when Liverpool lose, United fans are the loudest ones. But look at what they're doing. Look at what their team is doing, but they scream so much when it's Arsenal. I don't get it. But what else have I got? Arsenal obviously won away to Wolves. Good professional performance. I think that when you've lost back-to-back games, it's all about just getting the result. And they did that against Wolves. I felt like it was a professional performance. It was a performance where the main thing was getting the 3 points, and Arsenal did that. You know, Trossard gets his goal. Jesus was he played well yesterday. Saka, listen, they talk about Saka limping. I don't know if I said this on the last pod. They talk about Saka limping all the time, but they're kicking him off the pitch. In the very first minute, someone left one on him. Of course he's going to be bloody limping by the end of the game. He got fouled, what, 4 or 5 times yesterday? Fouls that are going to hurt. Not these little ones. They're proper fouls that people are doing on him. And he just needs to be protected. Odegaard, listen, that's my guy. Odegaard is a player where if you're a lover of football in its purest form, you'll just love watching Odegaard. And I think what I do like about him that makes him different to traditional number 10s is that he puts in a shift as well. Normally with number 10s, they're like luxury players. But Odegaard, he does the dirty side as well, as much as he can. We all know he's not the most, you know, strongest on the ball. He's not the most, you know, physical player, but he'll do it. He'll try and get stuck in. You can see certain times where he's coming toe-to-toe with certain players, they're just muscling him out. But it's not his game, but at least he's trying. And that's what makes him different to other number 10s. And on top of that, he's got the output in terms of creating chances, in terms of getting goals and getting assists. So, fair play to him, man. Man City in another final. All I will say about that Jack Grealish handball, that should have been given, especially if they gave today's one. Because they didn't even give a corner. But obviously, once they've given the goal kick, VAR can't overturn it and give a corner. But that definitely should have been given as handball. And it's going to be United, Man City in the final. Man City are definitely going to go and, you know, win that. So that's going to give them a double. I'm just hoping that within the Premier League, like in the Premier League, they slip up somehow. But it's going to be difficult, man, because even Arsenal... Sorry, I'm just really tired, guys. Even Arsenal... Arsenal have Chelsea on Tuesday and then Tottenham on the weekend. Like, look at those fixtures we've got. I would be happy to obviously get through with 6 points. It's necessary because Man City don't look like they're going to drop any points soon. Pep was complaining about the fixture, the fixture list and like the schedule and stuff like that. And to be honest, rightly so, man. The games are crazy. He was like, we played on Wednesday. Why could we not just play tomorrow? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, why? Especially when the other team didn't have midweek games. What? And it's the truth. Like, it gets to the point where you have to start protecting players because it's just mad. Otherwise, players are going to keep getting injured. Players are going to keep falling out, and the injuries are just going to become like more serious each time. So, I also want to pull up the Nottingham Forest tweet. So Nottingham Forest lost today to Everton. They lost today to Everton, and
big statement is honestly.
Okay, I mean, 1 second. I'm trying to find the Nottingham Forest tweet. Okay. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. Do you know how wild this is? Do you know how wild it is for them to be tweeting this off their actual official account? I'm here for it, but it's still wild. It's still wild. And I think when it comes down to it, whether they're right or wrong, I think the whole PGMO thing, the whole VAR, people say that over the course of a season, VAR balances itself out. And I don't think it does. I think they're just wrong decisions, ultimately, that just end up being wrong decisions. And you get some that go in your favour, but they don't balance out, especially when there's so much riding on them. And then, you might get an apology after, but what's an apology? Like, it's wild what Nottingham Forest did, but I'm here for it at the same time. I'm totally here for it. Right, what else have we got? Oh, I think... let me see. Yes, okay. Yes, what I do want to talk about now is Adam Wharton. Adam Wharton is a player who, I think he's 19 maybe. I might be wrong. He's around 19, maybe 20. And I just want to know who decides which players to prop up, which players that the media decides to make a big deal out of. Because when I've seen Adam Wharton, when I first saw him, I was just like, he looks all right, but I'm not going to hype him up because I saw a couple Palace fans, trying to do the most. But the more I watch him, the more I think, this guy can play. And he's only 19 years old, maybe 20. And I'm just left thinking, why are more people not making the most of this? Maybe it's because he's playing for Palace. In fact, it probably is because he's playing for Palace. Because what I see in him is just a top player, top youngster. Obviously, he's not finished yet. We know that. He's not the finished product. We know that. But he literally plays football like he's been playing for 5, 6, 7 years already. And I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. I think that he has got the potential, from what I've seen already, to go on. And I'm not going to say he's got the potential to go on and play for Arsenal or Man United or whatever. But he's got the potential to be a top pro for a long time if he continues to progress how he is progressing and build on what I'm already seeing. Because the kid has no fear and he can do it all. Do you get what I'm saying? So, we make a big deal out of Cobbie, and rightly so. But Wharton as well, he equally deserves the praise. So yeah, guys, that's it from me for the weekend. I mean, for today's one. I'm back tomorrow, recording tomorrow with another video. I'm going to do a watch along with Arsenal-Chelsea on Tuesday. That's a definite watch along. So yes, make sure you come join me for that watch along. And yeah, that's it from me. I'm out.